What is up, everybody? Welcome into Crane and Cone Ed On 3. That's right. If you haven't heard the news, this is the last time I'll say this. We got a bunch of videos to put out today. We have joined On 3. We're very excited about it. We're going to be in a brand new studio here soon as well. And yeah, that game just happened. All right. Oregon takes down Texas Tech. We're going to get into it. And we got to have a talk, okay, with Texas Tech's offensive personnel, coaching staff, everybody involved. But first, a little housekeeping. Boys, fellas, friends, we hit 200,000 subs. Let's go. Put your hands together violently. Put your hands together violently.
Yeah, we did on New Year's. How
because
about that,
of
boys?
You guys. Because of you guys. Look, we'll be to a million but before too long. I really believe that. So if you're new, listen to us. If you like it, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you're stuck with us, we appreciate you. Again, without you, there is no us. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback. Blaine Crane, former Western Colorado wide receiver. The first thing I want to do, because I know I'll go to the comments and Oregon fans will be like, you're not giving Oregon any credit. You're not giving Oregon any credit. Oregon won this football game. Oregon dominated Texas Tech defensively. Dominated them. So I want to make sure and give Dan Lanning his props. I want to make sure and give Tosh's props. I want to make sure and give all the Oregon players, especially on the defense. The offense did a couple good things. We'll get to that. But everybody outside of Jacoby Williams and Terrence Carter, get out for right now. Like, just get out. David, how do you show up in a game like this? And everybody, everybody that's the most important plays awful. The play calling, awful. As bad as the play on the field. The quarterback, awful, horrified. He was horrified after the first series. I thought they were going to have to try and neuralize him like it's from Men in Black. The offensive line got whipped all night. And Oregon really just brought four. You got beat with four. And there was no punchback. Last night, we saw Ohio State at least come back and punch Miami a couple times, especially coming out of halftime. There was no punchback, and it looked like a lot of quit to me. That's what it looked like on offense. I just don't know how you spend all this time, you go through all this stuff together, the defense goes out there and plays their guts out, keeps you in the game as long as humanly possible, and you didn't even get off the bus. You didn't even get off the bus. And I've got no dog in the fight. Not a Texas Tech fan. Not an Oregon fan. David, that was a five-alarm fire. That was an F5 tornado. That was a Richter scale, record-breaking magnitude earthquake that we saw on offense by Texas Tech, and it's unacceptable. And if I'm the defensive coordinator at Texas Tech or any of those guys on defense, it's going to be hard for me to look at you in the locker room after the game, to be honest with you.
I told you guys I was as excited about this matchup as any game that we've seen this season, and man, it sure didn't live up to that hype. Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about the Oregon offense against the Texas Tech defense is best on best, and that was going to be a lot of fun to watch. But then the other side of that was, hey, Texas Tech on offense against Oregon defense, something has to give, right? Who can win that battle? And yeah, I mean, absolutely unacceptable for performance by Texas Tech on offense. I know we're going to hammer that, and everyone in the country is going to hammer that. But yeah, I mean, Oregon dictated that on defense. And you got to give a shout out to a guy like Brandon Finney. I mean, two interceptions and a fumble recovery. What an Orange Bowl performance by him. And yeah, I mean, look, you just got to look at this Oregon team now and say, hey, can they hit those explosive type plays that we've seen them hit for most of the season and give you a defensive performance like they just did against Texas Tech? Because that's still an offense. That's a team that every victory they had this year for Texas Tech, they won the game by 20 or more points. It's not like there's some, you know, unproven offensive commodity there. They played really good football this season. I think Oregon's coming along at the right time on both sides of the football, and that's a team that looks like they can win the whole thing here.
Well, we know they're young, but they're very talented, right? They can do some special things, especially when you got a guy like Sadiq at tight end. That's a great inline blocker. It's got really good hands. That catch he made on the fourth down early in the game, it was a great throw from Dante. But there's a reason you look at the big board in the NFL and you see Sadiq's name basically in everybody's, and he's going to be a pretty high pick. Blaine, in the preview, and look, I still think we were correct in saying that in the past, Oregon's defense, believe it or not, even though you're coached by Dan Lanning, who's a defensive savant, they have struggled in the big moments and in the big games. Even last week, our last game against James Madison, where you gave up 30 points, we wondered how they would respond. And again, bash Texas Tech's offense, you should. They deserve it. That was pitiful. But Oregon came out and did what they needed to do, and schematically, they didn't have to reinvent the wheel. They didn't have to find a way to stop the flood. It was basically vanilla ice cream because, if again, like we said yesterday, if I can get there with four, I'm going to destroy you. And they didn't even have to get creative, really, in the back end. And they could play too high a decent amount of the night because Texas Tech lived in third and nine. So, I mean, you got to give credit again to Oregon's defense. Can they have another performance like this against a team like Indiana or Alabama, other teams that are
moving? I don't think you're going to hold any of the teams left that are going to be in the college football playoff to 0 points, right? I think the real question is, usually a winning number when I look at it in the playoffs is, can you hold someone under 20 points, mm-hmm. right? If you hold someone under 20 points as an offensive coordinator, you have to feel good about it that you can put up 20 on anybody. This was the Dan Lanning team I've been waiting for. Because to be honest with you, I don't think Oregon played well on offense at all.
They didn't.
I thought play calling was not great, especially the situational play calling on third down and fourth down for Oregon was not good. You're in year four or five with Dan Lanning. You go back and, Jake, you said what you said was factual. Every playoff team last year that Oregon faced, they gave up over 30 points. You give up over 500 total yards against James Madison. Look, I know you had some backups in the second half, but that's still unacceptable. And you come out. All right, and you shut out a team in the college football playoff in the second round who averaged 42.5 points a game. 42.5 points per game. But this is what worries me about this Oregon team. One, I think your defense is good. I don't know if it's that damn good. All right, I really know. I think the play calling from a Texas Tech standpoint was atrocious. They were play calling scared. Every time I watch a Texas Tech game, there'd be 5 to 6 plus shots deep. Didn't see that in this game.
Nope.
After that first interception, it was just check down, check down. I don't want to make a mistake football, and you're not going to beat an Oregon team like this. But Oregon rolled out. I think they played their B game. They beat a good team in Texas Tech. And now you're going to see who the winner is in Indiana and Alabama. But if you're Oregon, you have to feel really good because you left so many points.
Yeah.
So many points on that field. And if you play like this again, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I don't see you beating either one of these teams in the next round.
Well, Cone, you know, again, you played the position at a high level, talking about quarterback. I think early both these quarterbacks mentally were rattled because of the pass rush. Hell, I think the center for Oregon was rattled because of the pass rush. I mean, he had trouble snapping the ball really the whole first half. Cost him really 6 points in aggregate when you look at it. But Dante Moore, and it wasn't like Oregon's run game was just amazingly better than Texas Tech's. I mean, when you look at the numbers, and remember in college, they take sack yardage away. Oregon had 64 on 47 carries. That isn't very good. Texas Tech had 69 on 30 carries. That isn't very good. But it seemed like Oregon was able to stay a little bit more on schedule because Dante Moore handled it better. He adjusted better, even when the snaps were bad, right? Even when some crazy things kind of happened around him, he still made some throws to be able to extend drives. To the point, Blaine, that you made quickly, David, before you opine on the quarterbacks, I was a little shocked that Dan didn't have a better feel for the game and in knowing when to take the points and when to go for it. I understand being aggressive and you want your team to have confidence and think, hey, we can get this and we're going to go for it because we can get it. But I know he saw Texas Tech offensively. I know he looked at that, and the fact that you wouldn't take the field goals to get up 2 scores, you really should have been up 12-0 as opposed to 6-0. I was a little surprised because he typically has pretty good feel for how the game's going. But on the quarterback point in that point, I mean, what do you think, dude?
It's interesting you say that because something that I wrote down in my notes here was Dan Lanning does not believe Texas Tech can move the football on them, especially when you saw the 4th and 4 at midfield. If you're going for 4th and 4 at midfield in the college football playoff quarterfinal, you know the other team can't move the football on you. And that's kind of sad. And that was earlier in the game, too. It's not like he needed 3 quarters to figure that out. Look, the quarterback play, Dante Moore did some good things, did some bad things. I thought one thing he did really good was understanding when he was hot and finding the appropriate check down. And against this front four and this front seven, that's something that you really need to be able to do. You know, time of possession was something I told you guys I was really interested in because Oregon does not need time of possession to win football games, right? Like even James Madison held the football like 11 minutes longer because of their ability to be so explosive. But when you look down at the box score and Oregon had the football for 38 minutes, like Texas, you don't stand a chance, Texas Tech. Like, that was one category you really needed Texas Tech to come and like, with guys like Cameron Dickey, to really control the football and to figure out a way to control the line of scrimmage. And on the Oregon point, Jake, you make an analogy all the time with baseball about pitching backwards. So quickly, what that is, you know, typically in baseball, you're trying to set guys up with the fastball, strike them out with off speed. So if you're pitching backwards, you're setting them up and getting ahead of the count with off speed, trying to punch them out with fastballs. Well, the football equivalent of that is, hey, let's run the football to open up our pass game off of play action. That's how most of football has been played for a long, long time. So your analogy of pitching backwards is, hey, let's throw, especially in quick game, to see if we can open up some of the run game. Oregon does that very well, and they did it again today. So while Texas Tech did win the rushing battle, and it's one of the few categories that they did win, it was Oregon being able to pitch backwards to open up a couple of those runs that really helped out in key moments of the game.
And I will say this quickly. I know Texas Tech won the rushing battle, but they had a 50-yard
break. Yes.
Yeah, yep. Jacoby hit him with that 50-yard.
And even that one
early in the game,
like,
and you thought maybe
play.
That could get him back in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't – look, I will say this. Oregon is a team. If they can't run the ball, Dante Moore can be the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they have answers, the especially right? now that DeCorian's back.
Yeah, if Texas Tech Bryant's can't back. Run the ball, Baron Morton, and I said this in the preview, is not good enough to play a team like this and throw you to a win.
Yeah.
He's just not.
Which and look, Baron Morton – he was awful. I mean, it got to the point in the second half, he couldn't hit a check down, man. I mean, there were a couple throws, and I know he got a little bit confused on that coverage that Oregon was running, that match coverage, that red seven they were running in the red zone there. But if you look, go look at the middle of the field, which was his initial read on the slant. If he would have stuck with it, he had a guy wide open in the middle of the field, because what Oregon did, they kind of played fencing on the outside with you a little bit because they guessed. They guessed, and they guessed right. So, you know, Baron Morton was terrible. He was terrible. The offensive line was terrible. The play calling, I thought, was the worst aspect of it. It's about as bad of a game. And again, I'm not saying Texas Tech's OC doesn't know what he's doing. Everybody has a bad day, right? He's a human being, and nobody, I'm sure, is more beat up right now or beating themselves up more than he is. But for the love of everything sacred and special, bro, when are you going to mix it up? That was the most predictable down and distance play calling just in general, just in the aggregate. The sequencing was the same. Run, pass, run. Run, run, pass. It was never pass, pass, run. Pass, run, pass. It was the same. I'm sure Dan and Tosh were over there probably laughing it up halfway through the third quarter because, oh boy, didn't change. He didn't change at all. I mean, the only thing that was working was Jacoby Williams having to invent a Dr. Seuss book on the fly, or Terrence Carter being a monster. Those were the only two things, and he never adjusted. There were no shots down the field. The one time on the post, you threw it in double coverage on, what, 3rd and 10? When everybody and God knew? That's when you'd probably have to push the ball down the field? Just an absolute disaster all the way through offensively for Texas Tech. And again, that is giving tons of credit to Oregon. They forced them to do that. They took away the run. They were able to get pressure with four. They turned them over in big spots, too, to control the game and just totally deflate them. But my goodness, at some point, you got to pull the pin out of the grenade and throw that thing in the bunker, dude. Like, at some point, you had a guy. I mean, Cone, I'm sitting here watching the game, and into the third quarter, you're getting outscored by a guy named Atticus Sappington, who sounded like he was leading a British battalion in the Revolutionary War. Like, it just and he was great. He missed the last field goal. Give him all credit. But I'm just so let down. And I'm sure that Texas Tech fans, you deserve to be angry. Mm-hmm. You deserve to be pissed off. Those guys on defense that were just trying to save them, trying over and over again. David Bailey, Lee Hunter, J-Rod, Roberts, I can go down the list of guys that were making plays, and y'all didn't piss a drop on offense in the biggest moment of the game. What a letdown.
Yeah, and early on, it looked like Oregon leaving David Bailey one-on-one out there with tackles. Like, hey, that was going to be a difference maker for the Texas Tech side. But on offense, it's such a deviation from the regular season. And remember, we said the lone game that Texas Tech lost, Baron Morton was hurt. We're like, look, your only slip-up was because you didn't have your starting quarterback. And then it ended up today. I mean, I saw online people are talking about making a quarterback change at some point. But
to who? Hammond tore his ACL, right?
Exactly. You saw him over there on the sideline without any shoulder pads on. But even when Baron Morton would do some good things. And in the second quarter there, and at some points in the third quarter, he made some incredible throws, but then you have a fumble, and then you have an interception, and then you have a missed field goal, or then you have a offside on punt return. It's like every time Texas Tech was able to take a step forward, they were taking three steps back.
Yeah, and you just can't live that way, especially against a good team like Oregon. And again, Oregon took advantage of it. They smelled, you could tell it got to a point in that game, Blaine, where Dan Lanning offensively told his play caller, look, let's just pound it. Let's just pound it.
Why wouldn't you?
We get in third and six. Let's run our sticks routes. Let's try and find Sadiq over the middle. Let's work something quick and safe, because he knew that Texas Tech wasn't going to score. And that was the smart feel that I'm talking about with Dan Lanning. But at the end of the day, not a great game. I'm not saying that because it was a defensive game.
No.
I thought the Miami-Texas A&M game was a hell of a game because it was close.
Same.
We didn't know the end of the movie at the beginning or halfway through it. I could have told you what was going to happen at halftime, even though it was, what, 6-0 at half, 9-0, whatever it was. Just an absolute ball drop, a bag fumble, right? Tomfoolery.
I saw this game going a lot of ways.
Not at all.
I never thought I'd come out here after this game and said Texas Tech played scared on offense, not only from a playing standpoint, but from a play calling standpoint, that Texas Tech didn't push the ball down the field enough. You have 2 6-5 receivers, and if I see you throw another check down, I'm going to vomit. And I did end up vomiting when you're down 16. It's first and 10, and you're checking it down to the back with 4 minutes left.
Or third and 10, taking off on a scramble there near the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like it's third and 10. At that point, put Jacob Rodriguez back there.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid played quarterback his whole life. Let's see. You can't have a mustache like that and not ball in the college football playoff.
This would have been a closer game if Oregon played against air.
Yeah, well, look, and that's the thing that if I'm a Texas Tech offensive coach, that probably – and fan – that's the thing that would haunt me the most, is that I really didn't even give it a shot. You just kind of just threw peanut butter and jelly out there and vanilla ice cream and just hoped by some magic way, right, some Harry Potter, Hogwarts, Twilight world, it was going to work. You didn't even push it just to see. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to turn it over or not score? The fourth down play calling, I could have got my 11-month-old daughter to come up with better stuff than that.
What about the
she just learned how to walk?
The fourth down that Oregon had, I believe it was fourth and two, and they're in the Wildcat. Why are we running, right, basically a stretch play to the short side of the field and trying to have the guard reach the nose who's directly over the center?
With a 226-pound back.
I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Don't like that.
Yeah, probably the same way when Texas Tech went Wildcat on fourth down. And Jacoby took 3 years to cross the line of scrimmage. Brother, at some point, you got to go. It's not second and three where you can try and weasel your way out. You got to go. You got to hit it. I understand being patient, but I also understand missing the bus. And that's what happened. But all credit to Oregon. They move on. They're going to play the winner of Alabama-Indiana. Anything else you guys want to add before we get ready to watch this Alabama-Indiana game, which we're going to have an instant reaction. If you haven't checked out our Miami-Ohio State one as well, you need to go check that one out. We dropped that one this morning. And again, super excited to be at On Three. But anything else you guys got?
You talked about Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end for Oregon, who gets a lot of attention. But Jamari Johnson, man, he's making incredible plays here in the college football playoff. And Oregon's ability to get in 12 personnel with both of those guys, not just for the pass, but also for the run, I think that's going to be a matchup nightmare for whoever they play next.
Well, it gives you options, right? It gives you options. And again, watching the young talent that Oregon has run around the field and be able to find ways to win these games in different ways, I think it shows you the culture that Dan Lanning has cultivated out there in Eugene, and the reason they're always here. We always see them here with Dan. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Again, welcome home. If this is your first time, we appreciate you being here. Texas Tech fans, it's going to be okay. The sun will come up tomorrow. Cody Campbell will get you back here, right? Just hopefully you have somebody that'll push the ball down the field. And Oregon fans, congratulations. You guys earned this one. I know you're going to have a good night tonight. What a way to start the new year if you're an Oregon Duck fan as well. And we appreciate you spending the first day of 2026 with us here at Crane and Cone. And like the chances of me not being excited to run down here and watch this Alabama-Indiana game, we're going, gone.